this morning in our Sunday school class, and for the past couple of weeks, actually. Brother Don, we've been talking about being used by God. Is there anyone truly in the house this morning that would say, you know what, I want to be used by the Lord? You know, one of the greatest opportunities you have is to tell somebody about Jesus. And the greatest thing you can tell them, if you've ever been saved, is how the Lord saved you. And I had an opportunity to share that in our class this morning. But I wonder, because I do want to be used of the Lord, I realize this morning, I've talked about this past couple of weeks, I hate to even say this, but I'm 61 years old. Amen. Yeah, I've made it. Amen. By the grace of God, I've made it thus far. But I realize that, Larry, I have lived way more life than I have left. So I'm going to take an opportunity this morning, because I would never want to live and die and not make a difference in my church. If you're here this morning and you have never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. You see, remember last week, Otis was here. But I'm going to leave you a nugget this morning as well. And that is this. The greatest decision I ever made in my life was made in an altar when I accepted the Lord as my Savior at 15 years old. The greatest decision, bar none. So I'm telling you this morning, if you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, this would be the greatest day I could think of in your life. If you would come to know the Lord as your personal Savior, just come down and kneel. Somebody will meet you here and show you from the Word of God how you too can be saved. That you'll be able to sing this. What a wonderful moment. What a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm His and He's mine. Blinded eyes are now open. I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation. The night. Say it and know it. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching. I was lost and I was searching. But thank God I know I've been found. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning. He's worthy.
I haven't always been this way, church. I haven't always been a preacher. I haven't always been a pastor. I haven't always enjoyed going to church. Not long ago, I ran into someone I used to hang out with back before I got saved, and they said, "Hey, Bootsy." I said, "No, this ain't old Bootsy." And if you're wondering what that is, that's one of my old street names they used to call me. I said, "That old guy died, and there's been a resurrection in my heart." Amen. I said, "I'm a new man, and praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, and praise the Lord that He saves souls, He transforms lives." I like what Bill Stafford said. He's in heaven this morning, but he said, "If it hadn't been for Jesus, I wouldn't have cared if you have died and gone to hell." And I want to say this morning, same thing for me. If it wasn't for Jesus saving me and coming to my heart and my life, putting a care and a desire for the souls of men, I wouldn't care if you'd have died and gone to hell either. It's all because of Jesus this morning. And I appreciate Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so if you ask me why I'm happy, if you ask me why I shout, if you ask me why I get geared up and I preach loud at times, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus made a change in my life. And I hope that He touches you this morning. We're not coming to worship Buddha. We're not coming to worship Muhammad or Confucius. Those men, their bones are in their graves. But if you take a tour to the grave of Jesus, you'll find out that His bones are not there because He is risen. He's alive. We serve a living God this morning. This old lost and dying world sometimes thinks, oh, they're religious and they're holier than thou. And no, not religious, not holier than thou, just forgiven. Not perfect, just forgiven. And so that's why I come to church and worship the Lord. And that's why we have been on this straight and narrow way for 21 years now because of Jesus. This morning, I'd just like to get us out of the box a little bit. Do something a little different. Worship the Lord. Confuse the devil. Isn't that good this morning? The old devil thinks he knows what we're going to do. He has an idea of the songs we're going to sing. Well, we're just throwing him a little curveball this morning. And I want the Lord to do great and mighty things. And so, if the Lord moves on your heart, don't refrain. If you want to raise your hand, raise your hand. If you want to shout, you shout. If you want to come to the altar, you come to the altar. We are trying to move forward as a church, and we're trying for you to understand and to catch that there is a liberty here, and we want you to feel free to worship. So please do that this morning. Well, welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. Good to see everybody. I want to welcome everybody on Facebook and our live stream as well. Never take you for granted. I do have a few things I want to say. Brother Allen alluded a moment ago to it, but did you enjoy Otis Nixon last Sunday? Say amen. All right, all right. We actually had a Braves player here, for those that didn't know. And thank you for the great love offering that you gave last Sunday. We received $700 for that ministry. And what a blessing that was. Can anybody tell anything new going on behind me on the wall back here? Anybody at all? If you don't know, then maybe get a little caught up on some sleep. You'll find out that we have two 70-inch TVs on our walls back here on the choir wall. I want to thank Brother Larry Bennett for staying late Wednesday night, helping us with that. Brother Randy in the back. Brother Randy in the back. Spencer and Ashton have been working tirelessly this week to get these TVs up. Ground wires laid. Connections will be made here soon. And just a lot going on. I just praise the Lord for those who have given for this cause. We received another large donation this morning, by the way, church. And that's telling me that you guys are behind this. And so we are moving forward wide speed, all gears down. And so we appreciate that. I do want to mention some other things briefly. We are in the process of decorating the hallways, the foyer. We got a new piece out there that's beautiful. Thank you for the person who purchased that. And then we're working out here as well in this hallway as we count down to Jubilee. And so thank you all who gave for the tech upgrades. Also this summer, I'm thinking ahead right now, but I do want to put it out there, give you something to look forward to. This summer, we will be doing a couple more fundraisers so that we can fund the painting of the sanctuary in here. And so that will be this summer, a couple fundraisers. So be on the lookout and to listen and listening for that. Got several other things. We have CLU today. They'll be meeting downstairs in the fellowship hall to write out cards for all the visiting preachers. That's coming our way for Jubilee, 3 o'clock. Ladies, remember that. Men, not just deacons, but men, please meet us at 3 o'clock as well in Ceylon's class, and we will have a time of prayer together for Jubilee. All that would, please do that. We normally do this the Sunday before Jubilee, but why wait? Do it now. And so we're going to do that this afternoon. Remember that. Also, mark your calendars for Saturday, March the 2nd, which is the Saturday before Jubilee. That'll be our next outreach. If you would like to share your faith and invite people to Jubilee, tell people about Jesus. Meet us here at 10 o'clock. We're going to finish reaching out to Enclave, the community over here to my right. And so remember that. All right, let me make this announcement and a couple prayer requests and we'll be done. Jubilee lineup starts on the 3rd of March, goes through the 7th. Sunday morning, Snyder Turner, and then Second Coming singing. Service starts at 10:30 a.m. Sunday night, Sammy Burgess, Second Coming singing as well. We got them the whole day, 5 o'clock that night. Monday, Carl Partain will be preaching for us. And the Carl Partain family will be singing on Monday night, 7 o'clock. Tuesday, David Smith, Pine Valley Baptist Church Choir, again 7 o'clock. Wednesday, Michael Soup, the Joyeurs will be singing, same time, 7 o'clock. Thursday, Mark Stroud, who pastors Wahoo Baptist Church in Dahlonega, that area, he'll be with us, great preacher. Joyeurs singing, 7 o'clock. And so remember that. Of course, Junior Jubilee all week. Brother Brian is doing that, and we're so thankful for that. Nursery provided. All the rest of it. Also, we have a sign-up sheet over here behind the organ. If you're planning on eating during the week, Monday through Thursday, would you please write your name down so that we can get a head count and of how much food we need to have. So if you would do that, remember to do that if you would. Again, let's go. Brother Don will be preaching for us this morning. They're going back, he and Carla, on Wednesday. We hate to see them go, but we understand duty calls for duty. And so we asked him to preach this morning, and so we're looking forward to that. Tonight in the evening service, before preaching time, I'll be preaching tonight, but Calvary's Gospel Group is going to sing one. Calvary's Gospel Group. If you don't know who that is, come back at 5 o'clock, and you'll see who that is. And so we're excited about that. Had a great time this week at Bethel Gardens. Went over there and had a bunch of singing and reading scriptures, handing out Valentine gifts. I want to tell you what, we've got to step it up a notch in our worship here at Calvary, because those men, those ladies and those men, they about out-worshipped us. You know, they out-churched us a little bit. They were clapping, they were singing, they were crying, they were moving. And so we need to step it up a little, a notch here at Calvary. And also, they may be joining in with us. The manager was talking about bringing a busload of them here on a Sunday morning, and so we're excited about that. All right, are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer. So much more I needed to mention, but for the sake of time, we won't do it. Other than saying, in the Marietta Daily Journal next Saturday, we'll have our Jubilee listing. Thank you, Miss Lee Ellen. Dear Lord, we just take a moment to pause and kind of just gear things down a little bit, and so much to say. We're just so excited about what's going on here. A genuine excitement is what we're excited about. It's genuine. It's real. It's not getting excited hoping something to happen, but we know something's going to happen, and we're excited. Lord, you meet us halfway when we put in the effort. So God, we ask that you meet us halfway. And Lord, in the people's homes that we knock on their doors, these communities, God, we're asking that people would come to church. Father, we know that you'll bring them in from other directions as long as you see that effort. And so we're claiming that you'll bring them in. We want your house to be full. We want the people to come and be able to come to a place that's that is updated and modern and that speaks that we're moving forward. We want there to be an image and a message that we are moving forward here. So, Father, thank you for the facial change that's being done here at Calvary. And, Lord, again, just help us always be conscious to share Jesus with someone, invite them to church. We pray this morning for the service and Brother Don that you'll touch him in a mighty way. Lord, the message you placed on his heart, I pray that you would touch our hearts. And Father, everything that's said and done, we'll just be careful to give you the praise for it. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen.
Amen. Church, choir, if you'll stand with me, turn over to page number 139. Page 139. Let's all sing together at Calvary. Everyone sing together now. Years I spent in penitence, this afternoon at 4 or immediately following the COU, so please come and be here for that if you can. We're looking forward to trying to pick up a couple of new songs for Jubilee, and it's hard to believe that Jubilee is so close to us. Then right behind that we have Easter, so the choir has a lot of work, and we're thankful for that. So good to have Miss Catherine back with us this morning. And Brother Ceylon, it's great to have you back in the choir this morning too as well, brother. He came to me a few minutes ago. He said, "You said everything about Miss Catherine, loving to hear her back on the organ. You didn't say a word about my singing." Well, but it is. It's great to have them both back and back healthy with us. We praise the Lord for that. And it's great to have BJ. Where'd you go? Where'd BJ go? There she is. It's good to have you back with us this morning, praying for you. And we're thankful to have you back. And a lot of folks are going through some sickness. It seems like the allergy season has really kicked into gear very fast and very early this year, and folks are going through some things. But we just pray the Lord just continue to be with all those that are sick and going through difficult times. And again, for everyone on Facebook, we thank you for joining with us. We're thankful for that avenue to reach folks this morning and for them to be able to worship with us, even through Facebook. We're thankful for that. We're looking forward to Brother Don, his message this morning. And we're praying for their safe travels this week as they leave us. It's a sad time for us. We'll sure miss them. They've been so faithful, and they've been here, and they've been involved in the services, singing in the choir, going in visitations, and everything. We're so thankful for the Lord just allowing us to be able to share that time with you guys. We love y'all, and we will truly miss you. Ms. Carla said, Lord willing, we'll be going back on Wednesday. But we are thankful that the Lord's will be done. That's all our prayer is this morning. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. Again, please see all the sign-up sheets this morning and make sure we have everything taken care of as we get ready for Jubilee. And make that a matter of prayer. Ladies, please come out to COU today, and let's pray that the Lord would give us just a great week of Jubilee. Guys, come and join in a time of prayer that we might just lift up the Lord and we might seek him and seek what he might have for us for a week of Jubilee. Well, let's pray for the service this morning. Father, we love you and praise you. And Lord, we do thank you this morning for the spirit that we can feel in this place. And Lord, that's what we ask you for, that you would just so fill this place with your Holy Spirit, that when people come here, Lord, that they'll realize that you are real. You're a real, true God in our life. And Lord, you want to touch us. You want to change us. You want to mold us into a vessel fit for your use. Lord, I pray this morning if there is someone that's never accepted you as their Savior, may this be the day they'd realize that. Lord, they would come to know you as the Lord of their life. Again, Lord, be in this service. Be with those that are going through difficult times. Lord, we lift them up to you. Pray that you'd now touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know all that is needed. Fill this place with your presence, that when we leave here, we'll be able to say that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for all you're going to do in Jesus' name.
No one knew how alone I've been feeling, and the emptiness, you know, I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, but you see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day, someone told me of your sweet mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my failed you. We've all been there. And there's known that there's been times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. See, I'm amazed how you found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're
published, no, but the report came back from Brother Don and his spinal tap that they did, and they didn't find nothing, which is good, but it's also bad because, you know, they're trying to find out what's going on with him. And so they're just at this point committing it to the Lord as they did the whole process and have been. And anyway, we just wanted Brother Don to preach this morning for us. And so, Brother Don, whenever you're ready, you come around. Let's give Brother Don Rich a hand of applause.
Thank you. Round of applause this morning. He said it's good and it's bad. Well, it's not really bad. It's just a little frustrating at times, but we'll take what the Lord gives. But I'm going to have to say something this morning. I'm a little nervous, or I was for a moment, then I realized something. Brother Allen, did you take a look into my notes? No? Brother Justin? No? No? Well, that just tells me the Lord's confirming the message that he gave me this morning then, because I'm telling you, I got real nervous. I started to say, just keep preaching, brother. Just keep preaching. And then he got up here. But I want to say something this morning. I praise the Lord for family. I praise the Lord for my family. I praise the Lord for family who leaves this world with an influence, with a testimony that they love the Lord. I'm privileged that in my family, my dad's side of the family, there were several. He had a big family, and several of them had great testimonies when they left this world. My mother's sister left this world many years ago with a good testimony of praying, playing the piano in church and singing and things like that. My Aunt Atheline, one of my dad's sisters, she passed away several years ago, and she always enjoyed playing guitar with the family and friends, but she also played and sang in church, and she loved that. As a matter of fact, her home church supported us out in Yorkville, and so we got to go out there, and the last time I saw her, we were all in church together, and Carla and I were actually singing and playing out there, and we got, and she had her guitar sitting up there, and so it was just great being there with her. But as I said, she passed away several years ago. Well, just recently, her daughter, my cousin Vicky, came by the house and while we were here and brought some of her old hymnals and songbooks over to see if we wanted them. The family had gone through things over the past several years, and these things were left, and wanted to know if we would be interested in any of them. And some of them were quite old. I shared some of them with Brother Allen, and so he has them. And so we should be singing a whole lot more hymns, I imagine, because of that. But I went through them. And I came across a hymn that I had never seen before. Not that I've seen them all, but this one just really stuck out to me. I mean, it hit my heart. And I was amazed that this hymn was written in 1939. Now, this was in an old, old songbook. I mean, it was tattered and torn, so I didn't even save the book. But I tore this one out. And I planned to keep it with me as a reminder, and you're going to understand in just a moment. I want to read the verses, and I want to ask you this morning as I'm reading this, don't just consider this another sermon that I came to Sunday and we went back home. I want you to listen to what was written in 1939. While the world rushes on in its folly and sin, and millions go down in despair, to reign where demons are shrieking within. If men go to hell, who cares? While the people of earth are forgetting the Lord, and church pews are empty and bare, there comes to my heart these pitiful words. If men go to hell, who cares? Yes, the Father who sent His dear Son to this earth, all our sins and our burdens to bear, He has counted the cost and He knows what they're worth. If men go to hell, who cares? And the Son who is willing to die on the cross, the burdens of lost men to bear, the One who has suffered for all who are lost. if men go to hell? Who cares? If men go to hell, who cares? If that doesn't tug, if that doesn't tear at your heart, I think you need a heart transplant this morning, personally. Now, as I said, this was written in 1939, so it seems to me that apathy for soul winning has been a problem for many years. This morning, I want to talk to you about who really cares, and that I want to challenge all of us to do our part to keep souls out of hell. If you just happen to know this verse, repeat it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We all know that is what? John 3:16. You know, unless you've been hiding under a rock since birth, we've all heard this verse repeated hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of times. But without looking at your Bible, could you tell me who said it? In what context that it was said, and what Bible story it's located. If you're to flip through your Bible real quick and you have a red letter Bible, you can quickly determine that it was Jesus Christ Himself who gave us this marvelous truth as He spoke about what He was going to do on the cross for us at Calvary. Now in a few minutes I'm going to go into investigating who He was talking to, the circumstances, the context there surrounding that conversation, but I want to give you a quote first. I want to share this quote with you. A former pastor of Emmanuel Baptist in Pontiac, Michigan was quoted as saying this: "There is a sense in which God has put everything He can between a lost soul and hell. The Bible, a bloody cross, the church, gospel preaching, the prayers and tears of honest Christians, for He's not willing that anyone be lost." And what I want to do, I want to expound on that statement as we look at the many obstacles that God has placed in the way of sinners to give them the opportunity to avoid hell. Why? Because God cares. God really cares, and we should too. In this message, we're going to study several of those barriers to hell. In short, if you spend eternity in hell, it's not going to be because you didn't know, or that you weren't warned. It's going to be your choice. And that's whether you're on the internet listening this morning or you're here sitting in this church. I don't know everyone's heart, but I want to begin by explaining the reason for these barriers. In Peter's second letter, if you'll turn to 2 Peter, he wrote to encourage believers to remain faithful to what they had been taught by the apostles and to stress them to be ready for Christ's imminent return. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are ignorant of, willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Verse 7. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." The scoffers mentioned here are living like most of the unsaved world today. They say, you know, that guy Christ that they keep talking about, he's not come back yet, so he's probably not going to come. So they just go on and they feel like they can live as they want, and they ignore the truth. The words willingly ignorant tell us they don't want to know the truth, and they choose to create their own reality in their mind. Does that sound anything like our world today? I can just believe whatever I want to, and that's my truth. There's only one truth, and that's God's Word. Amen? They believe what they choose to believe. But I want you to notice what they're ignorant of. In verses 5 and 6, we see that they choose to ignore, number one, God's Word. Then they ignore God's creation. And then they ignore God's past judgment. We know that God destroyed the world with a flood the first time by his word. And that same word, what does it say? Now in verse 7 we read that the present earth and the heavens above it are only there, watch this, protected and preserved in place because they are prepared for a day of a coming fiery judgment and punishment for the ungodly, those who refuse Christ as their Savior. I got to thinking about that. You know what that tells me? This world, this sky above us, it's all like firewood just in the woodshed, just waiting for the fire to be lit. It is there held together for that fiery judgment that's coming. Some of the believers that Peter was talking to had begun to believe the lies that some of those people were saying. They've been started having doubts maybe about, you know, well, it has been quite a while and Christ hasn't returned. Maybe something they're saying is true here. Look at verse 8. Peter assured them, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." He's going to complete it. "As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Notice what it says. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We have just read the reason for the barriers to this inferno that the Bible calls hell. You see, God is long-suffering toward man because he cares. And he is not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. All would turn away from their sin and turn to the Son. So the reason for the barriers to hell is that God wants everyone to repent and to be saved. If we go back to John 3:16, we're going to see that reason repeated and amplified. "For God so loved the world." Our pastor was reiterating that recently. "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You see, God did more than care. He went beyond just love. He so loved, stating an intensity of love that this world has never seen before, nor since, and never will. He loved the souls that he created so much that he did something absolutely incredible. He gave, or better said, he sacrificed his only Son by the way of a cruel death on a cross. He sent his Son to be mocked, to be spit on, to be beaten, to be whipped, to die a horrifying death. He had nails driven through his hands. He had a sword stuck in his side, and he was placed on a humiliating public display. What we look at is a beautiful cross. That wasn't what was there that day. It was a public display meant for humility, for humbling a person, and for shame. And why? Why did he do all that? That whosoever believeth in him, believeth in Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, could have eternal life and not suffer that torment in eternity called hell. Let me tell you something. God cares. God cares this morning. Now let's see the context. Let's see who Jesus was talking to when he uttered those memorable words here. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 1. John chapter 3 and verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus was a Pharisee, which is a group of religious leaders who believed in the resurrection, but they put more emphasis on ceremonies, on rituals and rites and traditions. They considered themselves to be hyper-spiritual, a step above everybody else. And the verse says he was a ruler of the Jews. So, I mean, he was way up there. You remember, it was the Jews who placed Jesus on the cross. And then in verse 2, we read that he secretly came to Jesus at night. He recognized the power of God on Jesus, yet he began his conversation with him by calling him a teacher. In John chapter 7, we see that he was a very cautious man. He wasn't yet willing to come out and identify himself with Christ in front of others. But by chapter 19, we're told that he shed that caution. He brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus before he was placed in the tomb. He recognized his errors there, I believe. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus questioned Jesus' statement, having trouble comprehending what he was trying to tell him. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus explained that we must be born twice in order to enter heaven, once in the flesh and once in the spirit. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Verse 12. If I have told you earthly things, those who feel themselves to be religious, I want to just tell you something here before I read this verse. There's a lot of people who think they understand, think they know how to get to heaven. There's a lot of intellectual people who think that they're religious, but they can be lost and on their way to hell with all the knowledge that they have. There's a lot of young people that think, I got this made. You don't worry about telling me all that stuff. There's a lot of our young people in schools that we're seeing all these shootings. We're seeing all the stuff that's going on in our schools and adults. It doesn't matter. People who think, oh, I've got enough. I've got enough. I don't need any more of that. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You see, Jesus was stating a fact that blinds the eyes of many lost souls. You can have all this knowledge, but without the help of the Holy Spirit, no one can understand spiritual things. The barriers that are placed in the path of the sinner are to convince that person of those spiritual things, of heavenly things. They're there to help bring them to the second birth where they receive the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus was prophesying his own crucifixion on the cross. God required a sacrifice for sin and sent his own son to be that very sacrifice. Just as the people had to look up to that figure of a serpent to be saved from a terrible plague, Jesus must be lifted up. He must be raised up. He must be the only one looked to for forgiveness of sin. This brings us back to John 3:16. For God so intensely loved the world that he sacrificed his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not spend eternity in hell, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to die such a cruel death. He did that to save whosoever will. Anyone who would repent and accept Christ as their Savior. Why? Because He cares. Because He cares for us this morning. The first and most important barrier to hell that God sent was His own Son. Look at verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, that he would serve as the barrier, that the world through him might avoid hell. I really didn't want to start with this powerful point, if you want to know the truth. In a message, in a sermon, you usually want to build up to something like this. But I want to tell you, the Lord put it that way in my heart, and that's the way I had to put it down here. But the truth is, and what I saw when I kind of struggled with this, without Jesus, the rest is just worthless. Whatever else I say, if you haven't listened to this first part, if you're sitting giggling, if you're sitting there looking at your cell phone, if you're thinking about something else this morning, without Jesus, if you didn't understand the first part, the rest of it's not going to make any sense and it doesn't matter to you. Without the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, we have no hope. There would be no purpose for preaching. There would be no reason for this message this morning, but there is a reason. There is a reason. That said, let's look at some of the other barriers to hell that sinners have been provided. I'd like to start with that list with nature itself, God's creation. I think we'll go back to the beginning, Genesis 1:1. You don't have to turn there. I imagine you probably could all repeat it by heart. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There are so many amazing things in this world that could be impossible to explain apart from the God of creation. What some call the miracles of nature can only actually and accurately be described as miracles of God, because nobody else could do them. The most amazing, of course, to me is the conception, the development, the birth of a baby, whether it's animal or whether it's a human. It's such an intricate design that had to have a designer, a creator, one with supernatural ability and supernatural intelligence. The evolutionists, those scientists would have us believe that we evolved from a blob. But they say there's a missing link to their theory. You know the reason they can't find that missing link? They're rattling the wrong chain this morning. They're never going to find any missing link because there's not one. The only link they're missing is Jesus. Folks, the truth is, if God can create a world that appears to be millions of years old just by saying it, don't we think He could probably create a full-grown man and woman and give them intelligence far above that of any animals? There's so many amazing examples of creation. I want to give you one that's always been fascinating to me. Do you know that there is one species of bird that can enter the mouth of a crocodile and clean its teeth? And that crocodile sits there with its mouth open. But any other bird that would enter in there would be lunch. You don't believe me? Look up the Egyptian plover bird. You got that one free. I'm just going to share a little bit of science with you there. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Turn there if you would with me. I just think it's amazing. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, those that He made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Notice the barrier to hell mentioned in this verse. Being understood by the things that are made. What's understood? Look at that verse again. It's God's eternal power. It's God's dominion. And it's God's divinity that is in this verse that it says that's what's being understood. That's what you can understand by reading God's word. God has provided this barrier so that there is no excuse for anyone to say, I don't believe in God. There's no excuse. Even if you never pick up the Word of God, there's no excuse. Another barrier is their intrinsic knowledge built into each one of us to know right from wrong. Turn with me just one chapter over, Romans 2, verse 14. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. A lot of words about the law there, but let me tell you, what it's saying is there is an innate or natural sense of right and wrong within us that was placed there by our God. There have been many instances of heathen tribes who, even though they have never heard God's word, they chose moral rules for themselves, very close to the word of God itself, to govern themselves. I want to recommend a book this morning, if I may, Eternity in Their Hearts. I highly recommend that book. I read it several years ago, Eternity in Their Hearts. The author is Don Richardson, no relation, but I read that and it was just absolutely amazing. Moral absolutes. A sense of right and wrong does not come from evolution. It comes from our Creator. He's the one that placed us there. The next barrier to hell that I'd like to bring out is God's written word, the Bible itself. That book that we should be having in our hand every time we come into church and should be opened at home too. That one volume made up of 66 individual books contains the history of the world, the history of creation, the origin of man, the fall of man into sin, and God's plan for salvation, and also warnings for those who choose to reject His Son. All of that's in that one book. Those who are lost and blind to the truth would say, oh, well, it's just a book. It's No big deal. It's just a book. But let me share with you some of its attributes. I'm going to go quickly, so you may just want to note them down, jot them down real quick on the next three or four verses. The Word of God is living and it's powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God, which was written as a guidebook for our souls, brings out what is in our heart to show us our sin. It's profitable, even to the sinner. 2 Timothy 3:16, if you want to note that verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's powerful Word gives us evidence, the proof needed to convict a person of their sin. What else does it do? It gives us light to show the way. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance, the opening of God's word brings understanding even to the person living in the deepest darkness. Verse 105 says the word is a lamp and a light. It's a bright barrier that is God is placed to keep souls out of hell. He lights the path. The word of God also provides cleansing. In verse 9 of that same chapter, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto to thy word." The word of God is not only a barrier, but it has the power to cleanse and purify anyone who comes to it. A lot of people say, "Well, I can't be saved. I've done too much." No, the Word of God can clean that up. If that wasn't enough, God gave us another barrier to the gates of hell, and that's teachers and preachers of His powerful and living Word so that we could have a better understanding of it, and even in places where we don't understand. Turn with me to Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11, please. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. "And he gave," God gave, "some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting," the spiritual maturing of the saints, "for the work of the ministry, for the edifying," the building up of the body of Christ. God provided a barrier made up of many individuals that He personally called to preach and teach His Word. Verse 12 mentions the work of the ministry. The first work of the ministry is to reach lost souls for Christ. And this is true whether you're an ordained minister or whether you clean the church or whether you cook in the food or whether you clean in the toilets. It is for every one of us the work of the ministry. Look at verse 14. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro." That tells me we need to be growing in the Word of God. "And carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." There is so much false doctrine. There is so much false teaching that is deceiving lost souls, especially our young folk, but even many of our older folk are getting this. And God's answer to that is the preaching of His Word. That's why we have Jubilee here. That's why we have services here. That's why we have three services a week and not just one, like a lot of churches are going to. Because people need the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." There are so many who will foolishly choose to ignore God's barrier of preaching. Verse 23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified." As faithful pastors and preachers and missionaries, we must not stop. We must care about those souls that are going to hell. We must continue to put up that barrier. I'm talking about all of us, not just the pastors and the preachers and the teachers. All of us need to put up those barriers to deter souls on their way to hell. The next barrier that God has provided is the local church. Here we are. That local church is this called out assembly. A group of born-again believers who meet for worship and to teach God's word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of God. God uses the local church as that focal point, a place where God's Word is heard, where it's explained, where it's lived out, where anyone and everyone is welcome. You see, the local church must care if men go to hell. We've got to show we care. How do we do that? Getting involved. Not just coming and leaving. Getting involved. We are the boots on the ground in God's army. If those boots are just sitting there all polished up and not doing anything, we're not getting anything accomplished. And we're showing we don't care. We just absolutely don't care. Now, from within the church comes another very important barrier to a hell-bound sinner. And that barrier is the faithful prayers of Christians. You don't have to come on Wednesday night to pray, but why not? 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. Who does it say? Over the who? The righteous. James 5:16 tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One who is following God's Word. One who is constantly trying to do all they can for God. Wonder why your prayers aren't answered sometimes? The constant prayers of a true, God-fearing, pure-living Christian man or woman reaches the ears of God. And we'll see results. Many prayers for salvation of family and friends have been answered through the years. Why? Because someone cared enough to take God seriously, to kneel at an altar and to pray, or to kneel in their home, or to bow their head in a pew and pray for a lost soul. It's just another powerful barrier that God uses. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked. This is something the world don't understand. But He heareth the prayer of the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked. How many times you see somebody out there, they're partying, they're drinking, they're smoking, they're smoking their pot and all this other stuff, and they're living a worldly life, and they said, yeah, well, I'm praying for God would do this. Really? Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. This verse contains both a warning and a promise. You know, God always listens to His children. But the only prayer of a sinner that God has obligated Himself to respond to is one of repentance. Now let's look at a very powerful barrier that God has placed in the way of a sinner to keep him from hell, and that is the Holy Spirit, which draws men to Him. Turn with me to John 16, if you would, this morning. John 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. When Christ left this earth, God sent His Holy Spirit. Verse 8 said that He would reprove the world of sin. What this is saying is that the Holy Spirit would deal with the hearts of men to convict them of their sin, convince them of their guilt, bring them to their sin, their light, and expose them for what they are. Sinners on their way to hell. A person is never going to want to be saved unless they know that they're lost. The power of the Holy Spirit working in the soul of a lost person brings that conviction and has to be dealt with. And it's either going to be confessed or rejected. And we know, sadly, some resist the draw of the Holy Spirit. They choose hell as their eternity. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to be that barrier, to convict hearts and draw lost souls away from their path of destruction. Why? Because God cares. God cares. Let me mention one more barrier. That would be the miracles, the signs, and the wonders performed by Christ and His disciples it was witnessed by many people. They're no longer needed today because we have God's Word to compare the preaching to. We know if the person's preaching right or not because we can see it. But they were proof positive that God's word was true and that it was God's men that were preaching it. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll be done here in just a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. God had a specific purpose in mind for how this barrier should be a strong deterrent for anyone headed down the wrong path. If you would, turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Notice verse 31. But these are written. We don't have everything he did while he's on this earth, but he gave us what we needed to be sufficient. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. But these are written as another proof that God cares. God cared enough to send his Son. There's so many more proofs and barriers that God's placed in the path of a hell-bound sinner. There's fulfilled Old Testament prophecy, including the war in Israel, including them planning to rebuild the temple, all of these things, archaeological finds. We've got martyrs who wouldn't have given up their life if it hadn't been that they were sure of their beliefs. And there's an empty grave. There's an empty grave this morning. This message is another barrier that God has placed to detour anyone that's listening from making the wrong choice this morning. I am preaching today because I care. I care for lost souls that are on their way to hell, that are flippantly coming and leaving church, or never coming at all. Maybe sitting at home because they don't want to get dressed. Maybe they're not coming to church today and they're out there partying. I don't know what they're doing. I care. And I want lost souls to be saved. I don't want anyone to go to hell on my watch. Do you? I believe our loving God has placed so many barriers to the gates of hell that it proves he doesn't want anyone to go there. And let me say, after hearing all this, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, you have. The Word of God tells us there are only two eternal locations to choose from, heaven or hell. There are only two eternal paths that you can choose from. It's either God's path or Satan's path. There's not another path to go down. But there's only one way to get to heaven, John 14, 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We read in John 3, 16. Let's look at the verses that follow, if you would. John 3, 17. John 3:17. We're real close there. John 14. So John 3:17. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That the world through him might avoid hell is what it's telling you. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name, the holy authority, the character of the only begotten Son of God. So we see that to go to hell, first you're going to have to trip over the nail-pierced feet of Jesus who died for you. Then you're going to have to jump over all the other barriers that we mentioned. Let me just ask you something this morning. Would it be worth the effort to live a life of fun here on this earth? To jump over those barriers just so you can have a few years of having fun here on earth, what you call fun, and then leave and go into eternity of hell? Would it be worth the effort? I stated at the beginning of this message, if you spend eternity in hell, it won't be because you didn't know or you weren't warned. It will be your choice. Jesus is still seeking to save the lost, those who are wandering through this world looking for something to fill that void in their heart. All of these barriers have been placed so that you can believe and be saved this morning. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to beg you this morning, don't waste another moment. Make that decision to repent of your sin, which means turning away from your sin, saying it's not worth it. I'm going to leave it behind and accept Christ as your Savior today. Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." There's coming a time when you're not going to feel that anymore, that tugging at your heart. For the truly born again Christians, listen to this message this morning. I want to encourage us all to be faithful. I want us to be ready for when Christ comes back in the rapture for his church. I want us to be faithful, found faithful, doing his will when he comes. The song I read earlier has a fifth verse, and I want to read that to you as I close this message this morning. That doesn't mean zip up your Bible and ignore the rest of it. I want you to hear this. The fifth verse says, "The Spirit, the bride, and true Christians say come. For all who are lost is their prayer. The demons in hell send a warning back home. If men go to hell, who cares?" Christ felt that the souls bound for hell were worth dying for. Do you? Do we really believe that they're worth dying for? If we're saved, you know, that includes us. You think you're worth dying for? I know I'm not worth dying for, but I praise God that he died for me. Some of the people that I'm talking about are your family, your friends, your co-workers, those that are your neighbors. What are they worth to you? Are they worth investing a little bit of your time in praying for them? Maybe giving them a phone call or visiting them there, or going out on visitation here at the church, soul winning. Or maybe teaching a class or substitute teaching or just simply inviting somebody to the church. Are they worth that much? Those lost souls. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, God cares. Jesus cares. And we care as a church. And I want to invite you to come down to this altar this morning. Let one of us know so that we can show you what God's Word says. So that you can leave here today and know that if you were to die at this very moment, you'd be in heaven. Without any doubt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come to you right now. I thank you for caring. Lord, help us as individuals and as a church to show this lost world that we care also. Lord, you put up so many barriers. We just touched on a few this morning. Lord, I pray that just thanking you for those barriers. And then now, Lord, I just ask you to convict hearts. Convict our hearts of sin, Lord, that we would turn from it. Lord, if we're your child, if we're already saved, Lord, convict us of any sin in our lives, that our testimony may be pure, that because we want to be pure so that we can be used by you. Lord, if there's anyone here that's never accepted Christ as their Savior, I pray that you convict their heart of sin right now, that they wouldn't walk out of this building without coming down to this altar and giving their life to you. Touch hearts. Help them to step out and to come down to receive your Son as their Savior. Lord, I pray all of this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. While we sing, come down here and accept Christ as your Savior if you've never done that before. Don't leave this church playing a game, hoping that you've got enough time to play around a little while longer. You might not. If you're saved and you can, I know not everybody can, but if you can and you would, come down here and pray for a lost loved one this morning. Let this world see. Let this church see. We care for lost souls in this church. If men go to hell, who cares? If men go to hell, who cares? I hope you carry that with you today. And I can tell you this, if you're more concerned about what time it is and what you're going to have for lunch instead of praying right now for a lost soul who needs to be saved, possibly right here today, your priorities are out of order, folks. and you just don't care. There are some that need to be down at this altar praying this morning. If you can't pray at this altar, then pray right where you're at for someone this morning, I pray. That souls would be touched. Because if men go to hell, who cares? Brother.
Have thine own way, have thine own way. Thou art the power, and I
if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, please, please don't leave this church without coming down here and letting us tell you how you can be saved this morning. As you're praying, just ask the Lord to bring someone to mind to you this morning that you need to pray for. Maybe someone you need to visit. I want to encourage you. Not only step out today in your heart and prayer, but step out with this church. Let's get out there and knock on those doors. Let's give people a call. When somebody comes to visit this church, let's call them up. Talk to them. Invite them back. Tell them we love them. But more than that, show them we love them. Show them we care. I'm not worried about my health, I know, and I appreciate your prayers. I'm not worried about it because I know where I'm going to go if I were to die today. I don't think what I've got is going to take me out. Maybe it is. I have no idea. Apparently not. They didn't find a heart and they didn't find a brain, so it seems like I'm pretty good there. But I will say this. The Lord put this message on my heart, and He confirmed it this morning through two other preachers that I love dearly. So I know that the message I preached this morning is what I should have brought, even though it was hard to bring. A lot of people look at me and they say, you know, he looks like he's mad. No, that's just my face. I'm sorry. I preach because I love my Savior. And I love lost souls. And I didn't want to leave this week without having one more opportunity to invite souls to be saved. And to invite everyone here to be more involved in what's going on. And I'm not talking about what's going on in this church. I'm talking about be more involved in what's going on in ministry, in God's will. We need to be in the center of His will. We need to be doing more to fill these pews with lost souls so that they can be saved. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to preach this morning. And I just pray, as we leave this week, Lord willing, if we can get on the plane on the standby, will be gone Wednesday, if not soon after. Pray for us, because I've got a burden for souls no matter where we're at. When we get back to Peru, there's so many over there. We want to build up our newest church over there. I know the hour's late. Let me tell you, it's much later than we think for many people. Lord, thank you once again for your word. And I just want to ask you to be with this church, my church, Lord, our church, and your church. As we leave to go back to Peru, Lord, help them to feel the love that we have for them. And those that may have thought that, oh, he's preaching hard on this morning, help them to understand it's because I love them. And mainly because you love them and you care. Help us all to care more about your will and help us to do it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.
Much needed message. Much needed message. Got choir practice today.
Four.
CLU at 3 in Fellowship Hall. Men's prayer group. As well, service at 5. I was thinking when Brother Don was preaching back when I worked at Georgia Tech some time ago, on Thursdays they would have an afternoon where students would set up, you know, little things that they're doing, hobbies, things they're promoting, businesses, and they would have their own little tables. One of them was an atheist table. I've said this before. It goes along with the message, and then I'm going to let you go. I just want to say this, at the boldness of a lot of people, they had an atheist table, and they were selling T-shirts. You don't mean that. You don't mean that. I wanted to tell them they don't mean that. So bad. And going to hell in style, meeting my buddies in hell to drink, meeting my buddies, doing drugs with the devil. They don't mean that. Blind. Brother Don has already preached it, but let us be about the Father's business. Don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. Share the gospel. Last thing I wanted to say was this little illustration. Two guys were walking down the shoreline, and one of them was throwing seashells into the ocean. And his buddy looked at him and said, "What are you doing? You'll never make a difference." And he tossed one more, and it landed in the ocean. He said, "I made a difference to that one." Each one, reach one. It's not about the numbers. It's about reaching one person, every person in here, and the numbers will come. Let's do something for the Lord. Thank you, Brother Don. God bless you. Love you. All right. Anything else to mention before we close? That's right.
Just like Brother Allen said this morning about being used by God, this church is being used by God every day. And in Charles Taylor's life, he grew up in the children's home. And he was very special to me. After he got out from home, he came to work for me, and he worked for me for 5 years. And I was able to use him. He's blessed with his baby right now. That's Charles Brian Taylor.
Oh.
Maybe I can meet Charles one day. Beautiful baby.
Thank you. I'm going down there in 2 weeks. If anybody wants to pick up a baby a gift instead of here, I'll take it down there in 2 weeks.
Awesome. All right, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Everyone have a great afternoon. We'll see you back here in just a little while, and we'll carry things into the evening here at Calvary. Lord, thank you for the message. Thank you for the messenger. Thank you for, Lord, the burden that he shared with us. Lord, let us all carry the same burden. Let each one reach one, Lord. Just give our testimony, share the gospel. Whether it be through truth or deed. Sometimes it's just a kind hand, something doing something special.